Good afternoon, fellow Patriots in Eastern Washington. This is Matt Shea, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State. Brought to you once again by the committee to elect Matt Shea, Republican in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. And it's about taking an opportunity right now to pray. So wherever you're at, pause. If you're driving, pull over if you have the opportunity. And let's pray. And oh, by the way, you're going to want to take more notes today. I know we've been doing it the last couple of weeks, but again, some subjects you're really going to want to take notes on today. All right, Father God, we come before you today. We thank you for giving us this wonderful and blessed land, America. Father God, we just repent and humble ourselves before you. Father, we forgive our enemies, even those that are that viciously lie and slander and attempt all manner of evil. We forgive them and we bless them in Jesus' name. Lord, we just ask that you would turn their hearts to you, that they the veil could be dropped for just a second so that they could come to a saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask right now too that you would steal our hearts for what you have ahead for us in you. And Lord, that you would just give us everything that we need. And we thank you in advance for providing for everything that we need and for giving us your courage and your strength and your motivations and removing our own. So Lord, we just lay all these things down before you and before the cross in the name of your Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, as always, our hope is not in man. It is in Jesus Christ. And we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action. There's a difference between the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom. If we, okay, so this came to me today. I was on a statewide prayer call. This came to me today as I was kind of talking with some folks about what's going on. And in scripture, it talks about it toward the end of the era, knowledge would increase. And I think a significant portion of that knowledge increasing is the knowledge of our own identity as sons and daughters in his kingdom. So Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8, when it says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green." In one translation, it's luxuriant. And so it's not just like status quo normal. It's like luxuriantly green, okay? "And it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit." So there's no anxiety. We're still yielding fruit. This knowledge of our identity in Christ, that we are sons and daughters in his kingdom. We are co-heirs and co-laborers with Jesus. It's such an important revelation in this identity wrapped up in Christ. If we don't really understand it, then we actually don't live to the fullest measure that God wants us to live. And when he says that the kingdom of God is inside of us and it's in our midst or among us, that can't be real if we're not, it can't be to the fullest measure if we're not solidly grounded, rooted in our identity in Jesus Christ. It's very, very important. And look, at Old Testament, if you really want to get grounded in identity, one of the best, it's 20 minutes, it's called Where Moses Walked, okay? And if it was real, what Moses and the Israelites went through, wow, what a God we have that is saying, hey, I want to have you as a co-heir of the kingdom. I want to have you as a co-laborer in the kingdom. Wow. And if you look at the Copper Scroll Project, talking more about now and what God is doing in the world. And by the way, July 1st, I'll just move quickly to the international front. July 1st is the date when the annexation of Israel may happen. Annexation by Israel of the Jordan Valley may happen. Now, part of the Jordan Valley is Qumran. And we may actually see in our lifetimes, we might see it, where some dramatic things happened in the Middle East that were foretold thousands of years ago. And this isn't about eschatology. It's about reality. It's about what's actually happening. It's interesting that people have had to rewrite eschatology as things have happened here in history. Israel was never supposed to be a nation again, for example. So, rooted in Christ. Now, also on your daily intelligence briefing, I want to talk about the food supply quickly. Okay, now, we live in the breadbasket of the world. We've got orchards and vineyards and cattle and dairies and all this. We just have everything. I would submit, if you are a cattle rancher listening to Patriot Radio today, instead of culling herds, see if you can connect directly to the market locally, if that's possible, to sell to people here locally, because we're heading toward a food shortage with these meat packing plants being closed down and the culling of massive amounts of animals. So let's see if we can have our own internal supply chain in the future Liberty State. And if you're interested in that, contact me and I'd like to talk to you a little bit about it. But we need to have our own food supply chain because we're headed toward possible food shortages in September, October timeframe, specifically of meat, but other things as well. Now, what can you do to prepare? Pretty simple. Raise your own chickens. Go in with a few of your friends or family or neighbors for a cow, an entire cow, and have it butchered. Better yet, learn how to butcher it yourself, because butchers are overwhelmed right now. And figure some of this stuff out. Because we need to get self-sufficient and self-reliant again as Americans. And it is that basic that we need to take a look at our food supply chain now. And again, nothing to be afraid of. A lot of these guys, you have a couple of local elected officials in particular, just they love to do this. They love to preach fear and hate and then say that everybody else is being hateful and fearful. This isn't about fear. If you're prepared, it actually takes the fear out of the situation. And also pray for those guys. Boy, they're lost. Pray for them. Going back to what we're talking about, we have an opportunity again to be self-reliant, self-sufficient. So look ahead. Grow a garden this summer. Plant tomatoes and other vegetables this summer. Learn how to can. Those are some things that you can do. Get back to some basic skills that our grandparents used to do, not a big deal, every year. All right, on the national front, I want to talk about something too, and this actually kind of goes into the local front a little bit. There are elected officials out there right now saying, I can't do anything. I'm just following orders, all right? I taught just war theory, and I taught about lawful the law of land warfare. I taught about this stuff to troops that were getting ready to deploy overseas, in particular in our own units. We have to get back to some basic principles. Just following orders, or befehligt Befehl, is what the Germans used as an excuse at Nuremberg, okay? And that was thrown out as an idea. And what happened at Nuremberg at those trials is they said that each person is individually accountable for their moral and ethical actions or inactions. They're accountable for their individual actions or inactions. And it is each individual's duty to evaluate an instruction, a law, or an order independently for its moral alignment to standards that are universally recognized. Now, those standards, they don't mention, but it's where it come from Judeo-Christian values and beliefs. Okay. So let me talk about this. You know, you got some guys out there who think they're tough because they're wearing body armor and they try to act like a jerk all the time, or they try to bully people. if they really think they're kind of a tough guy, that's not what makes people tough. What makes people tough is having the anatomical wherewithal to say, that's wrong, and I'm going to stand against it. And I had a master sergeant, Master Sergeant Richard Woody. He was a ROTC instructor at Gonzaga. And one of the things that he taught us, and I will never forget this, is he said this, you have to be ready at a moment's notice to give up your career to do the right thing. Now, he was talking in a military capacity, specifically about lawful or unlawful orders. And this guy jumped into Panama. He could still run a 630 mile when we were in ROTC. He was an amazing human being. In fact, I think he captured one of Manuel Noriega's villas when they jumped into Panama. I think he was with the 82nd Airborne. And he said, be prepared at a moment's notice to give up your career to do the right thing. Now, the problem that we have today is all of these bloviating excuses out there about we might lose state funding if we stand up to the governor, or we might be sued if we stand up to the governor, or we might lose our jobs if we stand up to the governor. Here's my message. Very simple. An order is an order is no excuse. You did not take an oath to state funding. You took an oath to the Constitution. And you need to be prepared to give up your career at a moment's notice to do the right thing. Instead of your constituents losing their jobs, why don't you put your job on the line and stand up for them? I'm going to say this again. Instead of you allowing your constituents to lose their jobs and their businesses, why don't you put your job and your business on the line? That's your job as an elected official, to put yourself between tyranny and the people. Not to just go along to get along, not to just play it safe. It's to actually stand up and say, that's wrong. You can't go any further. And I hear all kinds of excuses out there. If somebody brought up, you know, Romans 13 says you need to follow everything the government says. Really? That's not what Romans 13 says. It was the favored verse of the founding fathers, was also the favored verse of Adolf Hitler. Which one was right? Because the fact of the matter is that in the original Greek, it says that your allegiance is to the highest authority. That's God, okay? So if everybody below is doing the wrong thing, you still have to follow God's standard. And so this ridiculous cop-out that I keep hearing, you know, people need to follow orders, they need to follow the government. No, they don't. Not when it's a very clear violation of the Constitution. You don't do this for light and transient causes. When there's a very clear violation of the Constitution. And let me just ask this question. If the government ordered you tomorrow to snitch on your neighbor and you knew your neighbor was going to be rounded up and sent to a concentration camp, would you do that? Or would you, if you were ordered to do so by your government, murder somebody? Just because maybe they had a different religious belief than you did? They weren't atheists, but instead they were Christians or Jews? Because, folks, this has already happened before in Germany and in the former Soviet Union. So let's stop pretending like history doesn't exist. Realize the brutal reality of the situation that we're in right now, that there are some people out there that are bent on, hell-bent, actually, on tyranny, and stand up and say, no, I'm going to put my job on the line. I'm going to put my business on the line and say, no, it's enough. It's enough. There's a movie called Tombstone. And in the movie, right after the OK Corral, Wyatt Earp says, I don't think we're going to let you arrest us today, Sheriff Behan. And it's one of my favorite lines, because he's basically saying, you don't know what the right thing is anymore. You're just trying to do this for power and control. And he was right. You just need to stand up and say, no, enough, we're done. People have been asking me, what do we do? Pray about it, do the right thing. I mean, that's what we always talk about. Do the right thing. And the fact of the matter is that the inaction and the actions of some elected officials here locally have hurt a lot of people. Their failure to step in has devastated some people. And so as Christians, we may not have caused the problem. We may not have been the feckless leader. We have to actually stand in, though, and help our neighbors out and love our neighbors and find out what's going on with them and help them to the best of our ability. And they may have just lost their business. They may have lost their job. They may have be going through family troubles because of all the financial issues. We need to step in, and we really need to start loving our neighbor. Regardless of who was at fault. And I'm going to tell you, too, that, and this is on the local front, that 2,000 people showed up at the rally at the courthouse in Spokane. 2,000 people. And we have it on video. It is proven. Now, some people tried to say there were only 300 people there. In fact, somebody instructed the media that there might that they couldn't report that there were more than 300 people, even though it's just beyond clear that that was the case. The line of people stretched from the arena all the way to the courthouse, and that was going the roundabout way under the Monroe Street Bridge. And for those of you in Spokane, you know exactly what I'm talking about. 2,000 people. We had leaders from the Vietnamese community. We had leaders from the Slavic community. We had leaders from the Black community. We had pastors. We had business owners. We had millennials came. I mean, it was just a broad cross-section of society. Broad cross-section of ethnicities, broad cross-section of backgrounds. And everybody said enough. One particular elected official actually yelled at the crowd, tried to hijack the protest after we began marching back, and a bunch of people let that person know how wrong they were. And that's... We have to keep this up, and we have to be clear. We have to be firm. And even though some of these people will lie, the media will lie, we have to do the right thing. It's so important. We have to do the right thing. The next protest is going to be on May 9th in Olympia from 11 to 3. So this coming Saturday, 11 to 3 in Olympia. Look forward to seeing some of you folks there, and we're going to keep protesting and keep doing this, keep the pressure on, so that people actually do their jobs and fulfill their oaths. The governor's ignoring our calls for a special session. He's pretty much ignoring everybody, and I think everybody has an idea of where this is headed. He's extended the stay-at-home order till May 30th, or actually 31st, I guess, technically, and... Apparently, it goes even beyond that into July as this phased-in approach happens. So, folks, we just need to do the right thing now and come together as Americans. And all these hateful people out there that want to destroy this country, either through their own inaction and selfishness or through their own intentionality, we just have to come together as Americans and say enough and stand together as Americans united. But we should never unite with tyranny. All right, I want to pick up where I left off last Thursday with this secret speech by General Chi Huatian. He was a Chinese general, and this speech was smuggled out of China by an anti-communist, and was translated. And I want to continue through this. Now, last time we talked about how this comported with their overall geostrategy, but some of these things in here are just absolutely alarming. So I'm going to do a little bit of a review. The first was they did a survey of their own people to see if their own people would actually go along with the invasion of other countries. And here's the quote from this. If China's global development will necessitate massive deaths in enemy countries, will our people endorse that scenario? Will they be for or against it? So they literally did a survey to see if their people would be for massive genocide in other countries. They also talked about the fact that they were the superior race, and they talked about how they were defiant toward God, and talked about, General Xi, that China's three primary goals, and this is the Chinese Communist Party now, the three lessons are firmly grasp the country's living space. Now, again, those of you that know history know that that's exactly the same thing that the Germans used as a justification to expand Germany and invade other countries in Europe. It was called Lebensraum, living space. So firmly grasp the country's living space, firmly grasp the party's control over the nation, and firmly grasp the general direction toward the becoming Lord of the Earth. That is literally what they say. Now, for us Christians, when the Chinese communists want to become Lord of the Earth, what they're really saying is that they are in bed with evil, because that is the Antichrist spirit, as many Christians know. I also mentioned something very interesting in this speech, that he, General Xi, understood that people wouldn't like the idea of using the term living space. Here's the quote. But the term living space, Lebensraum, he actually uses this, is too closely related to Nazi Germany. The reason we don't want to discuss this too openly is to avoid the West's association of us with Nazi Germany, which could in turn reinforce the view that China is a threat. Therefore, in our emphasis on He Jin's new theory, human rights are just living rights. But we only talk about living, not space, as to avoid using the term living space. So he even understood that people would say, wait a minute, that sounds an awful lot like Nazi Germany. The next thing he talks about is about the supremacy of the communist leadership, and said, quote, whether we can forever represent the Chinese people depends on whether we can succeed in leading the Chinese people out of China, end quote. In other words, invading other countries. Wow. It gets a little bit more interesting. They actually talk about Tiananmen Square, and they talk about World War III. And I want to read these two as well. Quote, China will inevitably change peacefully, and we will all become criminals in history. So they know they're evil, and this is if they lose, okay? After some deep pondering, we finally came to this conclusion. Only by turning our developed national strength into the force of a fist striking outward, in other words, invading other countries, only by leading people to go out can we win forever the Chinese people's support and love for the Communist Party. So they know if they don't do this, and this is after Tiananmen Square, because they almost lost power and control in Tiananmen Square, that they would be considered criminals. Yeah, because they've killed millions of people. Okay, World War III, here's what they say. Therefore, we will not hesitate to fight a third world war so as to lead the people to go out and to ensure the party's leadership position, end quote. Wow. Then he talks about their step-by-step plan. There's five steps. I want to talk about these. First step. China's long history has resulted in the world's largest population. History has led us on this path. Second, once we open our doors, the profit-seeking Western capitalists will invest capital and technology in China to assist our development so that they can occupy the biggest market in the world. So they were realizing the second step, that the West would invest in the largest market in the world, and they were going to then take advantage of it. Third, our numerous overseas Chinese help us create the most favorable environment for the introduction of foreign capital, foreign technology, and advanced experience in China. So essentially, having Chinese abroad was actually going to help this plan. Fourth, China's great economic expansion will inevitably lead to the shrinkage of per capita living space for the Chinese people, and this will encourage China to turn outward in search for living space. So they were going to use it in their economic prosperity as a motivator then, because things got so cramped intentionally, to then justify outward invasion of other countries. Fifth, China's great economic expansion will inevitably come from significant development in our military forces, creating conditions for an expansion overseas. Then they say something very interesting. The main target is the United States. Quote, so only by breaking the blockade formed by the Western countries headed by the United States can China grow and move toward the world, end quote. Wow. And then it gets a very, this is where it gets kind of creepy, okay? They talk about the fact that they're going to need to use deception in taking on the United States. Quote, we also must never forget that Comrade Xiaoping emphasized refrain from revealing ambitions and putting others off the track. The hidden message is we must put up with America. We must conceal our ultimate goals, hide our capabilities, and await the opportunity. He then goes on to say this, quote, only by using special means to, quote, clean up America, end quote, America will be able to lead the Chinese people there. This is the only choice left for us. This is not a matter of whether we are willing to do it or not. What kind of special means is there available for us to clean up America? And this is where it gets interesting. Quote, conventional weapons such as fighters, cannons, missiles, and battleships won't do. Well, what will it be? Ah, only by using non-destructive weapons that can kill many people will we be able to reserve America for ourselves. There has been rapid development of modern biological technology and new bioweapons have been invented one after another. Of course, we have not been idle in the past years. We have seized the opportunity to master weapons of this kind. We are capable of achieving our purpose of cleaning up America all of a sudden. Wow. And then he talks about going on, goes on to talk about developing carrier groups. But really saying that they should focus on developing biological weapons. Later documents talk about the use of EMP, and so now it has given rise to some geostrategists very clearly saying that it might be a combination of a biological weapon and an EMP because it doesn't destroy the infrastructure of a country. And then he ends with a couple other things, and this is one of them. Quote, maybe we can put it this way. Death is the engine that moves history forward. Okay, this is what he said. Death is the engine that moves history forward. During wartime, we were used to seeing dead people. Blood and flesh were flying everywhere. Corpses were lying in heaps on the field. And blood ran like the rivers. We saw it all. Wow. On the battlefields, everyone's eyes turned red with killing because it was a life or death struggle, and only the brave would survive. I mean, this is literally, quote, end quote there. That's literally what this guy believed. Wow. And again, I want to read the last portion of this speech because this ends everything, and then we'll get our guest on here. This ends everything in a way that I think is very stunning for the vast majority of Americans, because we don't believe this kind of evil exists out there. This is the last line of his speech. Therefore, our military battle preparation appears to aim at Taiwan, but in fact is aimed at the United States. And the preparation is far beyond the scope of attacking aircraft carriers or satellites. Marxism pointed out that violence is the midwife for the birth of China's century. As war approaches, I am hopeful, or full of hope is what it says, for our next generation, end quote. Again, the secret speech of General Chi Hua-tien, and it's H-A-O-T-I-A-N. H-A-O-T-I-A-N. check out that speech. You can find it online in several places. There's a full excerpt. It's very, very simple to find online. So check that out. Read it for yourself and understand that this is the time that we live in and this is what we are facing. Which now brings me to our guest today, and that's the briefing. Oh, by the way, remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. And if you get a chance, go to patriotradio.com/US on social media, okay? Just like the page, share it with your friends and family. We're also on iTunes, and we are on Podbean. And if you miss an episode, there's a replay at 9 o'clock on the ACN network on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And just check it out. And again, this message needs to be heard by a lot more people. And I know there's other folks out there talking about this, but very few here in the Inland Northwest. All right, our guest today is Pat Wood of Technocracy News. Pat Wood is the leading and critical expert on sustainable development, the Green Economy Agenda 21, 2030, and Historic Technocracy. He's the author of Technocracy Rising, the Trojan Horse of Global Transformation, and co-author of Trilaterals Over Washington with the late Anthony Sutton. Pat, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today. How are you doing?
I'm getting voicemail, Matt.
Okay, yeah, no problem. Then we're going to go back to what we were just talking about. I want to go to the next document that is available to us, and I'm going to pull this up here right now. So there is another Chinese document, and it's called Unrestricted Warfare. Unrestricted Warfare. Now, part of unrestricted warfare, in the West, we call it fourth generation warfare, and part of it is economic warfare. So let's talk about signs that show that economic warfare is happening in the United States and that we are headed into a downturn. Michael Snyder of the Economic Collapse blog wrote about this recently and was posted on InfoWars. Let's talk about the 18 things that he highlights that are signs that economic warfare is happening in the United States of America and that we are headed toward something pretty bad. All right. Number one, unemployment in the United States is above 16% in the next report in April. Okay. U.S. manufacturing orders have effectively crashed. Gasoline consumption dropped below the lowest ever recorded level. I want you to understand what that means historically. Since we have been driving cars in America, okay, and then they started recording gasoline consumption. This goes all the way back, essentially, I think, to 1991. We are now at the lowest recorded level ever. Light vehicle sales, lowest level since the 1970s. Government program that was supposed to get small businesses through has been a failure. Well, that's, I mean, pretty obvious. We talked about already the meat shortages that we're heading toward. Global smartphone, well, this is probably actually a blessing. Global smartphone shipments down 11.7%, fastest drop on record. Hong Kong had the worst economic contraction in that city's entire history. U.S. consumer spending was down 7.6% in the first quarter. American Airlines posted a $2.2 billion loss during the first quarter. $2.2 billion. Looks like Neiman Marcus, J.Crew, JCPenney are all headed for bankruptcy. Fox Business is reporting that Hertz is preparing to file bankruptcy. Gold's Gym filed for bankruptcy on Monday. Edmunds is projecting that auto sales in the United States will be down this month by more than half compared to April 2019. Manufacturing activity in Mexico is falling at the fastest pace ever recorded. More than 30 million Americans have already lost their jobs, and that is projected to skyrocket to 47 million, by the way, unemployment. In March, U.S. home sales declined by double-digit percentages in every region of the country. White House economic advisor Kevin Hassett is warning that U.S. GDP might fall up to 30% during the second quarter of 2020. Okay, I want you to hear that again. The warning is that the U.S. GDP could fall up to 30% GDP, gross domestic product. That, in and of itself, isn't just a massive warning sign. It is, right now, folks, our economy is more important than individual lives because our economy is the life of our country. And yes, I said, it is. Every individual life is important. I've been on this show talking about this for years, but we're now talking about the survival of our country. And the fact of the matter is that these lockdowns may actually be costing more lives than they're saving, not just in the economy, but also in things like suicide and some other things too that go along with isolation. So, the Chinese published a paper called Unrestricted Warfare, and essentially the subtitle, and this is added by the West, is China's Master Plan to Destroy the West, or America in particular. So, what is it? What are they trying to do? Well, these two Chinese colonels wrote this in February 1999, and they talk about the fact that there are many different faces of warfare and that the United States of America is only recognizing one particular. And they talk about this, if you really want to skip to kind of the best part of this document, you can go to page, I believe it's 114. And you can see where they begin talking about these new methods of operation. And part of this is in the national security realm. In America, should incorporate what they have already said in this document they're going to attack. They talk about attacking in the financial sector, and we just went through some of that. I mean, think about this. China's failure to respond properly, its hiding of information, the fact this came from a Wuhan biolab, very likely, shut down the United States of economy in such a massive way it's going to hurt a lot of people. So financial attack, then also network attacks. In other words, attacking the grid. Now, I'm gonna step back a little bit and talk to you about this. So some years ago in Metcalf, California, there was a substation down there. And in the middle of the night in that substation, a squad of some people, and they believe they were clearly military, went to pre-marked reconned firing positions. In other words, they had scoped out where these firing positions were ahead of time, and they went there, and they began firing at the cooling unit of this substation. Now, before they did that, they'd actually opened a manhole cover, and they went down and they cut every single line except one, and that was the line that gave information back to the control center. And a lot of people believe they did this intentionally to see what the response would be, and they were gauging the response. So a lot of people speculate this was a foreign government's operatives in America that did this in Metcalf, California. And you can look this up. It's called the Metcalf Sniper Attack. So they attacked this cooling unit in a substation. And the substation began to overheat. Now, if that high voltage transformer had gone down, Northern California could have been without power, wait for this, not for months, potentially for over a year, because high voltage transformers are only manufactured in three, but really two countries. One is in Europe, the other is in South Korea. And so they have to manufacture these high voltage transformers directly to the specifications of that substation. What is also interesting is this control center, when it got the overheat warning, they shut the substation down and saved everything. But at the exact same time, according to Dr. Peter Pry, who's an expert on EMPs, and he actually worked with the Central Intelligence Agency on this issue, said that a North Korean satellite was over Washington, D.C. at the exact same moment that this Metcalf sniper attack happened. So the speculation was that maybe a foreign government was testing our electrical grid. Now, later, North Korea was implicated, and there were several news articles out about this, in a cyber attack against the United States infrastructure, to the point that they got so far inside the grid network that they could have turned on and off the power at will. And so when Donald Trump became president, he started working on getting these high voltage transformer stockpiles built up. And just last week issued an executive order about hardening our grid, and particularly taking some defensive measures for our grid. Well, that's interesting because, you know, just reading about what the Chinese are talking about, not just bioweapons, but then also EMPs, as you've heard on this show before. That's important that all of a sudden, after Wuhan, now Donald Trump is looking at protecting our electrical grid, which he should. The fact of the matter is that a lot of people don't understand how our grid functions. And so it's really important to understand kind of the critical component in modern grids and other manufacturing and everything. It's called the SCADA system, or supervisory control and data acquisition. It's a control system comprising computers and network data communications and graphical interfaces that allows supervisory management of large devices. So think a SCADA system at the dam, or a SCADA system, you know, at a control station for something else, like a sewer treatment plant. Those are the things we're talking about. And so when China talks about in this document on unrestricted warfare, the Chinese Communist Party, these colonels, they talk about attacking our network. What they're talking about is attacking our SCADA systems so that they could shut down critical infrastructure in the United States of America. Now, I have worked quite literally for years trying to get the legislature to not just identify critical infrastructure in Washington state, but to harden it. People were laughing, poo-pooing it, etc. Well, now we're here. Donald Trump has recognized this as a problem. And I know it's very simple to harden our grid. As somebody estimated, between $2 and $8 billion, that would be it to harden our entire grid in the United States of America. Which means hardening our SCADA systems, not just against cyber attack, but also against electromagnetic pulse. Some people try to poo-poo electromagnetic pulse, but the fact of the matter is the Chinese think it's viable because they have a testing facility. There's pictures online. You can see them, I believe, at WorldNet Daily and also on Defense One, for those of you that want to look that up. So that's what they've talked about, that they're going to attack our networks. In addition to that, this is on page 117 of Unrestricted Warfare, you can see where they talk about doing media attacks. Now, a lot of people know the term information warfare, but this is much bigger than that. This is not just media. This is also political warfare. And there's a document called the Political Warfare Executive. It was written at the end of World War II that lays out how this works. It was actually published by the British as part of a strategy to defeat Nazi Germany. Now it's being used. All right. This is critically important to understand. Okay. Stop referring to the media as stupid. They're not stupid. They're doing this intentionally. When they try to lie, for example, about how many people were at a courthouse, when it's on video and you can clearly see there were over 2,000 people there, and they try to say it was 300, okay? It's intentional. They're not being stupid. This is intentional. When they fail to publish certain things, when they know, for example, like General Flynn, they know that he was set up, and they fail to report it. This is part of an intentional plan. And the Chinese Communist Party has infiltrated American media, has even put pressure on Hollywood in regards to how they're portrayed in certain movies. That's why it was interesting in the second remake, or the remake of Red Dawn, the Red Dawn 2, it was supposed to be the Chinese, but they kind of made it seem like it might be the North Koreans. Now, in the original movie, it was the Russians. So, this media attack isn't just painting narratives on the news or in Hollywood. It also encompasses smearing and targeting for character assassination people in America who are raising the alarm, trying to discredit them, trying to say, oh, they're just using a forgery. It's not General Chi's real words, you know, doing all this garbage. Okay, understand that that's what they try to do intentionally. And if we're to understand the time that we live in this world, we have to understand ourselves, we have to understand the terrain, we have to understand our enemies, like the Communist Party of China. Now, again, just read General Chi Watien's secret speech. Okay, Chi, C-H-I, his last name, H-A-O-T-I-A-N. Very easy to find on the internet. I know it's a little bit hard to spell, but it's easy to find on the internet. And then lastly, the Chinese talk about a revolution in military technology. And one of the traditional problems that China has had is they've been unable to project power because they have a lack of a blue water navy. Now, Joel Skousen has been on the show before and he's talked about this. And so when at the end of General Chi's speech, he's talking about building up aircraft carrier groups and then also space technology, there's these two components for China, kind of the new technology warfare aspect, and then also the traditional, as far as a blue water navy to project power. And so this is important that Donald Trump, when he was doing tariffs, take a look at the materials he was putting tariffs on, because it looked like a geostrategic move intentionally to deprive China of the ability to make a blue water navy so that they could project power. And then we can go to the next one too, which I think is also important, that they want to use combinations. They want to use combinations of these things together. In fact, chapter 7 of this document is called 10,000 Methods Combined as One. So it's not going to be just, you know, building a blue water navy. There'll also be political warfare. There'll also be media warfare. There'll also be cyber warfare. This is critical to understanding. So we have to be, we have to make sure we recognize this and defend on all of these different fronts. The other part of this too is in this document, they put their essential principles, and I want to kind of go through some of what they call essential principles. So if you're following along, you can find this on page, starting on page 204. So this is combined war from the Chinese Communist Party perspective. The first principle is called omnidirectionality. In other words, combined use of all related factors. So they give all-around consideration to all factors, and they use it to project in all different aspects of life, actually, probably the best way to put it. They call this is the quote from here, it says, spaces in nature, including the ground, the seas, the air, and outer space are battlefields, but social spaces, such as the military, politics, economics, culture, and the psyche are also battlefields, and the technological space linking these two great spaces is even more so the battlefield over which all antagonists spare no effort in contending. Warfare can be military, or it can be quasi-military, or it can be non-military. It can use violence or non-violence. Wow. It can be a confrontation between professional soldiers and emerging forces consisting primarily of ordinary people or experts. So understand what these guys are saying here, that warfare can be across all of those spectrums. And one of them is culture. Literally destroying the identity and history of a people can be a battleground, which you see happening in America today. People that try to destroy America's Christian heritage, you literally are playing into the Chinese narrative. Literally. You are aiding and abetting the enemies of America by playing into the narrative of trying to destroy history, trying to say that America is not rooted on Judeo-Christian principles, trying to say that there weren't really any heroes in American history, trying to denigrate the Founding Fathers. Those are all playing into the Chinese Communist Party narrative. The next principle they use is called synchrony, or in other words, try to do all of these things together at once. The third principle is called limited objectives. In other words, keep things simple and achievable on their battlefield. So in other words, destroying the culture over a period of time. It takes a long patience. Number four, unlimited measures. Now, unlimited measures is kind of one of those things I think that you need to understand the mindset that they're coming from. So they believe in the unrestricted employment of measures across a broad spectrum, but only restricted in the sense that it can accomplish limited objectives. So I hope that kind of makes sense. They use a list of tactics, but it is limited in the sense that it's only for a few specific defined objectives. Asymmetry, and we've talked about this, asymmetrical warfare. This is cultural warfare, etc. Minimal consumption. We use a term in the West called economy of force or economy of effort. The idea is to use as little resources as possible to have the biggest bang for your buck. So computer hackers use limited resources but can wreak havoc. One bio lab with only a few people there with limited resources can wreak havoc on an entire nation. That's minimal consumption. Multi-dimensional coordination. And they like to see coordination across all of the spectrums as well. So So in other words, there's coordination between the release of attacks on the culture and in the media. In America, there's coordination with the building of carrier groups and some of the space technology development that they're doing. Everything is coordinated. And then the last principle is adjustment and control of the entire process. So along the way, they're continually reanalyzing and readjusting to refocus where they're going to go in warfare. Now, I hope that wakes you up. I really hope that wakes you up that we are facing in America right now intentional planning to destroy this country. And we need to be as intentional back in preserving liberty and freedom as these people are trying to destroy it. That means instead of emotional responses on social media, do your research and don't play in to the narrative of the Communist Party of China. Don't do it. So you might think you're sounding intellectual. Well, the founding fathers never really were Christians, so to speak, or deists and atheists. Don't do that garbage. If you have not read what they actually wrote, don't do that. Because you can't get away from the fact that in America, we are founded on Judeo-Christian principles. And that has been what's made our country great. We need to reclaim our identity as Christians, reclaim our identity as Americans, and unite around the first things, the Constitution and the Bible. This is Matt Shea. Thank you so much for joining me today. May God bless all of you. We are the greatest generation. We are. Believe it and make it happen.